Hiroshima.
Hey guys, how's it going out there? It's time for another episode of No U-Turns at the Drive-In with me, Lucas Wilson, and...
me, David Halston.
Today, good lord, today... this took us 2 days to watch because for some reason it was twice as long as the normal movie we've been reviewing.
It was, what was it? It was only like an hour and 40 minutes, right?
103. But that was, yeah, over more than an hour and a half.
Right.
Yeah. But
yeah, I think in total it was like an hour and 43 minutes.
Yeah, something like that.
It felt like...
well, we didn't even...
far as the amount of time it took to sit through and watch it, it felt like Ben-Hur time. You know what I mean?
No, I don't.
Okay, Ben-Hur is a really long movie.
Oh, okay. Well, we didn't even tell them what movie it is, Dave.
Oh, we didn't?
No.
I was getting right into it, man. I'm like, let's go.
All right. Well, guys, guess what? We just watched Star Odyssey. It's an Italian science fiction movie about something.
It's kind of just about ripping off every science fiction movie you know and doing a completely bastardized version of it.
What did we watch?
It's like, one of those films where we're like, did that just happen? Did I dream that?
It's a very surreal experience watching this movie. It's like, you can't believe everything that's going on. You're questioning everything that's happening. It's like, like you said, it's like, is that really happening? Like, what? Why? Why?
Yeah, we're not going to give a plot synopsis for this film because, as I was telling Lucas earlier, it's one of those films where it's like no characters, themes, or events are really introduced or explained, and like expositionally. Things just start happening and you watch it and you don't know what's going on, but you're like, okay then.
The best of our knowledge is... some snake face guy won the earth in an auction and was going to enslave the human race. And then a ragtag group of people who were joined together inexplicably by a bald psychic man to defeat him. And all of them except one guy dies in those damn robots.
And the two in the end, the scientists betray the human race and join the snake men and sell earth.
Yeah.
Auction off earth and split the earnings.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just crazy. It's just craziness happening. Right from the beginning, the music is terrible from the opening credits. And it's like throughout the entire movie, they only had one musical cue, and it was that terrible one.
Yeah, they would play it during like anything. Like if it was a battle, they'd play it. If it was like a love scene, they'd play it. If it was a dramatic scene, they'd play it.
It sounded like a children's keyboard. You know what I mean?
Yes. Okay.
Where to begin?
The characters. There's this cast of... this is a very interesting group of people that...
okay, we got to start with one thing.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And that's the mustaches.
Good grief. Everywhere.
It was the 70s. It's Italian. Like, every guy has a mustache. But our main character,
guy.
Who's supposed to be the hero, even though he doesn't do much, the other characters kind of pick on him the entire time, and he dies rather pathetic death in the end. But they call him Hollywood. But they don't even call him Hollywood. They call him Holly. So you have this dude named Holly who thinks he's Charles Atlas, walks around looking like Superman holding in a fart. There's no other way to describe that. It's the most awkward way for a human being to move around possible.
Yeah, it's just like he's
so
strutting around.
So it's like you have the Superman posturing and the, like, I don't even know if his legs bend when he walks. Seriously. Or if he just moves like an action figure. It was like seeing a live action person move around like a doll in Robot Chicken.
Yes.
Oh. And his mustache.
His mustache is the best part about him. He has...
go on, Lucas. I can't even...
I don't even know really how to explain it. It's like this very finely cut mustache buzz to like the shortest you could get.
Like commas.
Yeah, they're like commas on his like lips. Almost like compressed tarantula legs were pasted
down,
on his
Thomas.
Yeah, like
with the point stuck up his nose.
Yes. It you could not, every time this guy's face showed up, you couldn't look at his face or listen to what he was saying. It was like you just stared at his mustache.
It's cut off square. It doesn't really flow with like the direction that his lips go in.
No,
sticking off like up towards his ears and then cut off square. And then it comes to right to a point underneath his nostrils.
And they're also like really small.
They're just tiny little things.
Tiny
little stashies.
Like us describing it can't do it justice. You have to see this movie to
I
understand his mustache.
This is one of the most entertaining what the fuck movies that we've ever watched. Wouldn't you say?
Yes.
Can't understand what's going on, but it's really bad, it's really funny, and it's never boring. There's always just crazy shit.
So, besides Hollywood, who else is there, Dave?
We have Venom.
Is that his name?
I don't know if that's his name, but he's wearing a black shirt with a white spider on it.
Yes.
White spider design on it. So it's like Venom or the black suit Spider-Man.
And he has psychic powers, too.
He has psychic powers.
Mild
psychic powers.
Of course
he has psychic powers.
Which he uses to influence gambling games so this one particular woman will win against these guys.
Oh, yes.
Guys.
Gambling for whores.
Yes.
Explain that.
Oh, yes. There's this woman who gambles against these men, and if she loses, they get to do it with her. But if she wins, she gets their money. It's like gambling.
It's like they said, okay, what do men like? And it's like, well, they like women. Well, that goes without saying. Unless, yeah. But let's see. And what else do men like? Playing games. Yes, playing games. Let's have them play a game where they can get a woman at the end of it. Or they might not. It'll be the most confusing erection they've ever had in their life.
And they spend a lot of time, the beginning of the movie, like a lot of times visiting this casino? I don't even know. There's
all right,
floating
it's
orbs
like,
and...
It's like the bar, the milk bar in A Clockwork Orange, only stranger. There's designs on the walls, weird furniture, just metal balls hanging from string on the ceiling.
There was one point when Venom got in a fight, and like at the end of the fight, it just like kind of ended abruptly, and he's like in a giant pile of couch cushions.
Yep.
With his head
like,
poking out.
Like they filmed the after effect before they really knew what the fight was going to end up like, so they were like, just throw stuff around the room to make it look like there was a big fight in here. And they just have him covered in couch cushions.
A lot of couch cushions. He's got like a
fort.
Yeah,
it's like there's two couches. Yeah, it's like a child came in and built a fort. And this guy is like, I came home. Oh, I slipped and fell in the fort.
And I guess that woman, was that the same woman who was kind of a scientist? Almost?
No.
Was that a different person?
There was the woman who was the niece of Baldy.
Yes.
Baldy, the super psychic.
Yeah, so she had like a poofy hair.
Yes.
And then there was the
scientist woman who always wore like tight black leather.
Without pants,
yeah.
Except for one moment where all of a sudden they wore the same uniform.
Okay, the characters in this movie, if you've ever read comic books... Comic book characters are wearing certain outfits that if you put on real people, look ridiculous. But that's what they did in this film.
For her.
For many of the characters.
Yes, you're right. Never mind.
Baldy, the psychic, is that, I don't even know, it's like the collar that goes up past their head.
The snake face?
And snake face has this other, like, weird collar that, like... goes from his elbows to his neck, it looks like.
And then...
like one solid piece of plastic that's just like surrounding his head. I don't know what that was about. Strange lizard fashion, you know?
Is that the... Yes, he's the same guy. He has a mustache.
One? Clarify. Which guy is...
I'm thinking about Venom again.
Venom, okay.
He has a mustache that's like
He's got a bro stash.
It's the same color as his face, so it just looks like he has like prickly skin on his upper lip. So it looked, at least on the poor quality of this film, it looked really weird. It was like crazy blonde mustache. And then, like our favorite guy, we've just been calling like Sporticus, because he... If you've ever seen Lazy Town... this like kid show, there's a character named Sportacus that everywhere he goes, he just leaps and somersaults. Doesn't walk, just does aerobatics. And this is exactly what that guy does. Even when he's stepping over somebody.
Oh yes, they knock a guy out and he jumps and twirls to get over him.
Yes.
It's like a spinning jump.
Yes,
over this guy,
yes.
And then he lands, he's like, ha!
And apparently he's also sort of a robot expert or something, because at some point he's in a junkyard, and he finds a robot named Tilt, who has the powers of, like, intangibility, like things can phase through him.
An intangibility field.
Yeah.
He generates.
But then
him.
This robot has, like, a girlfriend named Tilly. Who is he looks exactly like him, but has like giant eyelashes.
Yeah, and they found these robots in a modern modern day of the 1970s.
Oh yeah.
Junkyard.
The junkyard didn't fit the movie at all. It was all cars from the 70s being crushed in this junkyard. It didn't look anything like it belonged. And not only that, they used stock footage from World War II during a scene when the aliens are bombing the Earth.
Yep.
It was black and white, buildings
grainy.
Blowing up. Yes. It was literally from World War II.
They just had to use that stock footage.
Yes.
They couldn't like build a model and blow it up by which they do in other parts of the film, like at the end with the space fight. Of course, they don't really blow up the model. They just make it disappear. There's a flash of light, and it disappears, and that means it's destroyed.
Yes.
And their star fight.
Yeah, they're star fights. They're dog
like
fights.
Live-action space invaders.
But
you
I
know?
Couldn't... Like, all the ships looked the same, so it was like, I couldn't tell what?
Well...
What the fight was...
Well, the Earthling ships were angular, and the Lizard Man ships were saucers.
Oh,
that's the only difference I saw.
Oh, maybe because I'm like laying on my bed, staring at my computer screen. It's like they just look like overblown white blobs shooting at each other. But those robots. Go back to those robots. These robots.
Just go on.
They are racist robots, and not racist in terms of people, but racist towards other machines, as if other machines are like a race. They
machinist, robotist,
robotist,
robotist.
But
because you know they don't call them robots, they call them robots.
Robots. That at least that one woman could call them robots. Oh, what? Second movie that somebody said that.
Oh yeah. What was the other one? The other one was Flash Gordon.
Yeah, Flash Gordon, and it was the crazy old man, and I could forgive him because he was a crazy old man, but...
Yeah.
But this woman who was supposed to be like
robots.
A scientist. The robots! I was like, no! Robot! There's no you in robot!
But, I'll let it go, man.
But, these robots... Okay, so when... The first hint of this happens when...
The oil drum version of R2-D2 with little arms on it.
Well, it was even before that. It was in the junkyard when... I forgot his name.
By the way, you forgot to mention why the robots are in the junkyard.
Oh, I'll get to that.
Okay.
In the junkyard, he just made a mention about these... You gotta get these inferior machines off of my girlfriend or whatever. But then... There's this robot who's basically an oil drum with, like, somebody sitting inside with arms sticking out. And he just goes around and serves people. But as soon as he comes to the room, these two robots start insulting it, telling it it's an inferior machine. It's outdated technology. It's like, I was like, that you're hurting that poor robot's feelings. He's just serving drinks. Why are you making fun of him?
Yeah.
And it
is like just a bastardized version of R2-D2 again, you know?
Yes.
Like they're just ripping off things in good sci-fi films.
And then Tilt spends much of the time like complaining about his girlfriend's overreactions or something. I don't know. But
yeah, the robot's also sexist.
Yeah.
It's like, that's just like a woman.
Yes, he kept making a lot of woman comments, I guess. You know.
Silly woman
comments.
Robot. Silly woman robot.
What are you doing?
What?
Oh, my cat's just hanging out in a box. Okay, so these robots, the reason they're in the junkyard is because they tried to commit suicide. They both had a suicide pact with each other. And there were two separate explanations for the suicide. At first,
there were many different explanations
many?
For the suicide.
Oh, I only remember
two. They couldn't remember why they were trying to commit suicide. And so they kept saying, I think it was because of this, or I think it was because of this.
Well, the only two I remember was they couldn't, robots couldn't sleep, so they couldn't dream of each other. So life wasn't worth living because they couldn't dream of each other. And
there were more. I know there were more.
And then the last one, the one where they go like, oh, that's why we killed each other. The reason they decided to commit suicide together is because they couldn't have sex. That is the reason.
But the bald super psychic is going to fix that for him.
Yes, tells them.
When I heard this, I threw my microphone on the ground.
I heard that. I was just like, come on.
It was like, no!
He's smiling.
You're kidding
going,
me!
He's sitting there smiling. He's like, oh, I can fix that for you.
He's like, I can fix that for you good. I just need the parts.
Just install this here and drill that out there.
Drill that out. Oh, dude. I don't want to think about robot fucking. And the way he's like, you two can make love like any other creatures. And I'm like, no, no, they can't. No. It's just like the robot, he fixes the robots up, and they go in another room. He just sounds like somebody's banging two pots together.
Oh my gosh. Oh, yeah, there was also a scene where they
forgot to program in an orgasm, so it just goes on for hours.
There was a scene where they tried making out with each other, too.
Don't even talk about that.
These robots were so... And they were completely useless! They didn't do anything to help anybody! Well, they just stood there.
They did a science performance.
What was it? So they could make more lightsabers? Was that what that was for?
Yeah. Oh, by the way, yeah. Lightsabers. Yep, they ripped them off. But they didn't look like lightsabers. They were all white. They were just white cones, like the plastic sword toys that would extend when you were a kid. Or I thought they also kind of looked like big versions of homemade popsicles.
Yeah, it was like he grabbed a handle and hit a button and it lit up like a lightsaber. That was kind of like pretty much the only thing that was like a lightsaber. But it was, yeah. And it was really good against the androgenoids.
Again, you will have to explain androgenoids.
That's our term for them because there is the snake face guy. He has an entire crew of androgynous androids, like these long blonde haired male-ish android man boy things that would go on the planet.
I thought they were women first, so I'm really
me too.
Just sticking with androgynous.
Yes, they were.
Even though I think they were all played by men.
But they were androgynoids. And
it's like they all have the same suit and the haircut. I think they should have started a band in like the 60s.
They were pretty much indestructible except for the lightsaber.
Yeah,
you could just touch them with it and they would die.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
They're pretty easily defeated once our human characters got a hold of lightsabers.
Yes. They were.
I still can't believe I'm calling them lightsabers. Bastardized lightsabers. Bastide sabers. Bastard sabers.
Although, isn't there a sword called a bastard sword?
I have no idea.
Could have sworn I've heard of that before. What else is there?
You will die in atrocious agony. One of the lines of the villain says.
Oh, yeah. That just reminded me of Ming the Merciless's line of, you shall have an amusing death.
Yeah, but that's funny and creepier. This was just like bad dialogue. You will die in atrocious agony. Yeah, I'm a lizard.
Okay.
Mention that the villain is a lizard and he purchased Earth at an auction?
Yes. I call this Auction Planet, and a planet devoted entirely to auctioning off other planets. And he got in a bidding fight with some other alien, and then he just like, 100 million, whatever their units.
Space dollars.
Space dollars. We'll go with that. And he wins it, and he's just plans, he's going to get slaves, but then there's a space battle that everybody dies except Hollywood. No, not Hollywood.
Everyone lives, and only Hollywood dies, which brings us to Hollywood's death.
No. I'm pretty sure everyone died, because the only guy that came back was Venom.
No, Venom and the girls came back.
No, that was poofy-haired girl. That wasn't blonde-haired girl who went up in the spaceship.
Well, the male and female scientists, they chased after the lizard man in his spaceship, and then later teamed up with him to auction off Earth again. That's how the movie ends, at the space auction.
I'm so fucking confused.
Yeah, you really are. But only Hollywood died.
Saying a terrible line.
Yeah, his line was the...
You have it written down?
No. I wish I could quote it word for word, but basically what he says is, it's like, not even in Hollywood has a hero, has a star died such a heroic death. And all that happened was the androgynoids in their spaceship kamikazed and just flew into his spaceship. That's his heroic death. So all it says in my notes is Hollywood's questionable heroic death. And they don't even say anything after he dies. They were picking on him the entire movie, by the way. And then he dies and he says that really, really terrible line. They all just kind of look at each other, moving on. They don't even say moving on. They're just on to the next scene. Like, as if even they knew, wow, that was weird. kind of glad he died. I hated that guy. Yeah, the only other person who may have died would be Sportacus. I don't know what happened to him.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I was laughing too hard at that point.
Yeah, I don't remember what happened to that guy.
Sportacus may have died. Poor Sportacus. I love how he just leap off camera.
Balletic. Yeah. Oh yeah, that one scene where like they cut down all those androids and then he just like ballets off the side of the
It's crazy. Remember how we were introduced to Sportacus?
How?
The boxing match.
Was that him? Because
that was him. Remember, he was somersaulting around in that ring.
Oh, right. So he was a boxer fighting a robot. Oh, the referee.
The referee. The glutton for punishment referee. In this future sporting event where you have a boxing match with a robot who's got, I guess, a sensor on their head that if you punch them enough times, whatever, they lose. But it was literally just a guy in a silver costume and big punching gloves wearing a probably cardboard robotic head.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing with the ref is that, like, it was fair game. It was fair game to beat the ref up. If he was there, you could punch him. Like, even if he wasn't in the way, you'd turn around and punch him. And sometimes the ref would, like, get in the way on purpose. Like, he would, like, try to stop him from punching the robot and get punched himself. And it's like, why is he there? At first I thought he was another fighter, but they kept calling him the ref. So it was like, what the hell is going on?
He's just a glutton for punishment.
Yes.
It was like comical, like the whole audience would laugh every time the ref got punched. It was literally a punchline.
Oh, Dave.
Okay, that was bad. I'm going to file that one away and let's just move on.
In that one file? That special file.
Our special file where we put just terrible, terrible things we say and just file them away and don't speak of them ever again.
So...
But the scientists, it's like their betrayal of the human race at the end, I think, because they were rebellious characters. We were introduced to them. They broke out of prison, Earth prison.
What?
And remember the Earth prison guards? They looked like they were wearing somewhat S&M GIMP uniforms.
Yes. They were in like stasis.
Well, no, the scientists were in stasis prison.
That's what I was talking about. Yeah.
And the guards were like all gimped out.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is one of those films you just have to see to believe. Yes. Find it, watch it. Show it to your friends, torture them with it.
It's on Amazon Instant Watch. So you could get it from there for like probably like $5 or something.
Oh, not that much, dude. I wouldn't pay $5 for this movie.
Hold on, let me see what it says.
You can probably find it on YouTube for free.
You can get it for $3. Or you can get a 7-day rental. Wait, what the hell? This isn't it? The frick?
Dude. What'd you find? Kubrick's Space Odyssey?
No, I'm on Star Odyssey's page. But when I click the Watch It Now button for Amazon Instant Video, it takes me to a Metallica documentary or something.
It's like, just imagine, now I'm just imagining this movie, clips of this movie being played to the song One.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, Dave, what do you rate this movie?
Oh, geez. It's crap. It's complete and utter crap. I think it's prime material for a Michael Bay remake. And, okay, before I rate it, I gotta mention this one thing that I kept thinking while we were watching this. Imagine if, like, Roger Corman made Star Wars.
Yeah.
Imagine Star Wars, same script, but they only made it for like a few $100s. So you've got B-movie actors and really bad yes. special effects. Same script, but done really low budget.
And that gives them an idea of what this movie's like?
No, I just think that would be a really fun idea.
Ah.
Never mind. I'm just. But that this movie made, because it kept ripping off Star Wars, the little thing with the lightsabers, and R2-D2 was an oil drum. Can you imagine what Chewbacca would have looked like if it was? It would just been like a guy in a bear suit, like a dime store bear suit.
Chewbacca.
Like, you would have seen the cutouts around the eyes.
Uh-huh.
It's just like, and it would have been a B movie like this on this disc. Same script, but you just put bad actors and bad special effects, and it turns into a movie just like this, or any other movie on this collection, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
I'm not saying that to put down Star Wars in any way. I'm just saying that could have happened to Star Wars. That's what Star Wars could have been like. But the reason Star Wars is great is it has those sci-fi elements that that only existed in B-movies like this beforehand, but then did them really cool.
Yeah. So you're going to give it a rating yet, Dave?
So I'd rate it like, because we did enjoy watching this.
We did.
Man, I'm telling you, people, get just a party of people together, drinks and popcorn, and just watch this, be confused, laugh your ass off at terrible mustaches, and just the utter weirdness of it. You see, it's crap, but the utter weirdness of it redeems it somehow. It was just funny, and we often talk about, like, we want to give it a quality rating and an enjoyment rating, but why the hell give it a quality rating? It's always about the enjoyment, so...
Maybe we should start doing that, Dave. Basing out of how much we enjoyed it than the quality.
Yeah, that makes more sense. So I'll give it a 3.7 suicidal robot couples.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you give it, Lucas?
I'll give it 3.8 tarantula stashes.
Should I do the song now?
The song?
The song, remember?
No.
Venom is like we talked about,
yes.
Being
Dave...
Spider-Man.
Yes, go ahead.
You want to give the explanation to how this came about?
Just that, no, yeah, he just has that spider shirt that he's always wearing, and he's got a fluffy mustache.
So I came up with a parody of this Spider-Man cartoon theme song called Mustache Man. They just started to sing at Lucas.
Thanks, Dave.
just to annoy him. Really? But the whole idea was like a guy, I'm going into this, is way too much explanation. The idea is it's a parody of Spider-Man, but it's about mustaches, and it's sung like a guy singing through a big bushy mustache. I don't know why that came into my head, but I just started singing, mustache man, both of them are a mustache can, grows mustache, and he dies, catches babes, just like flies, look out, pick up the mustache. Man,
there you go.
And I just imagine that's what that character was singing to himself in his head every time he was on camera.
Maybe
just find this film, people. You will not regret it. Well, you will regret it, but for good reasons.
Okay, well, folks, thanks for bearing with us while we talked about this ridiculously, hilariously, surreally crazy film, Star Odyssey. If you'd like to leave your comments as to what you thought about this movie, or if maybe you've seen
also
it,
also known
or...
as the Italian screw over every fan science fiction film you ever loved as a kid,
just
Star Odyssey.
Star Odyssey. Just send us your comments. Post them on our website. You know, we're psychojellyfish.com, guys. Just come on over and tell us what you thought. You know, you can also bug us on Twitter, Jellycast, man. Just look up Jellycast on Facebook, psychojellyfish. Yeah.
Now you just sound like you're begging. But seriously, please, please, sir, listen to our podcast. Okay, so what's on the plate for next week, Lucas?
Oh, crap, I put the thing away.
Uh-oh, we'll get it back out. Come on, man.
Get it out.
Okay, that sounds like one of the robots.
No, that's not it. Okay, Unknown World. A scientist has a theory of saving mankind from a nuclear disaster by having people hide in the center of the Earth to avoid the contamination and devastation. With the financial backing of a multimillionaire, the scientist develops a giant drilling rig and sets out to find the potential safe haven in the Earth's core. A harrowing trip through the Earth brings the explorers to hidden cavern, but is it the heaven that they were searching for? Starring Bruce Kellogg, 1951.
I'm already thinking, like, it's like, wait a minute, it's like, we're going to escape nuclear war by going to the center of the Earth, and you have the resources to do that? How about putting those resources to something like, I don't know, something to clean up nuclear
or
energy or stop nuclear war? You know? Yeah. Yeah. An anti-nuclear war defense system, you know?
Uh-huh.
It's like, if you're going... it just seems like a big waste of money to me. And it makes me think of that movie, The Core.
Oh, yeah, that movie.
Yeah, maybe we'll cover that one day, Lucas.
Maybe one day, Dave.
Or maybe we can't cover all bad movies.
No, probably too mainstream for us to cover.
Right. It's fun when they're bad movies that were made, like, low budget and stuff. But it's like when it's like Transformers 3... It's like, come on.
Oh, my gosh.
This is just annoying.
Well, audience, thanks for listening to us. It's been fun.
Yeah. Good night, gentle listeners.
Keep it psycho. Oh, I'm so fucking confused.